Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 1. You know, this will be an interesting chapter in as much as you know, back in the ninth chapter, Paul was a chosen vessel that God sent on a three-way mission to the kings and queens, to the ethnos, that's the ethnic peoples, Gentiles, and to Israel. And to give a witness that his ministry was true, God is going to utilize through the Son, Peter, in this 10th chapter, to go to the Gentile, to prove that they are acceptable if they love the Lord. But then look deeper yet. Even back in Luke chapter 7, verse 5, if my memory doesn't fail me, Christ himself was in the presence of a centurion, that's an ethnic, a Gentile, a Roman centurion, who had a sick servant, probably his armor bearer, and he requested that Christ heal that servant. And one of the reports were that he gave alms to even the church and even built a synagogue. So definitely he was a believer, and this was witnessed by Christ. Then we will have the witness here by Peter, and then you will have Paul as he brings forth much of the New Testament on that three level to whomsoever will. Chapter 10, verse 1, let's learn about it. Verse 1 reads, "There was a certain man in Caesarea," or Caesarea, however you wish to pronounce it, "called Cornelius," that means of a horn. Horn always stands for power. So that's a good name in that tongue. "A centurion of the band called the Italian band." In other words, he was, that would be about the equivalent of our regiment. It could be anywhere from 800 men on down to 100. He was responsible and well-trusted, in other words. Verse 2, "a devout," that means a religious man, "and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." That's a good report. In other words, he was honest, he was a convert, he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he prayed to God, and God will answer that prayer here in this particular chapter, and will teach a great lesson to everyone. Verse 3, "he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour," that's 3 p.m., he was wide awake, "of the day, and the angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius." Verse 4, "and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." God has seen this. God's aware of it. Don't ever think, you may pray and you may think God never hears my prayer. He hears them. He answers them in his own time and naturally whether they're deserving or not. Verse 5, "and he gives instructions to Cornelius." 5, "and now send men to Joppa," that's beauty, "and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter." That's hearing and the rock. They're going to hear, and they're going to hear it from the rock. Verse 6, "he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." He's going to instruct you how to follow up and be pleasing to Almighty God. Your prayers, your alms, you are successful in reaching the heart of the living God. Verse 7, "and when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually." Waited on him continually means it was probably his armor bearer. Your armor bearer, you trust well enough that he has your back and your weapon. meaning he could destroy you at any time he probably chose. So it's someone you trust with your life. So instead of sending two witnesses, we've got three here. Verse 8, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up onto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. This would be midday. Okay. His devotions that he's going to bring forth there, verse 10, and he became very hungry. This was imposed by the living God. You understand? This is divine intervention. And would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He was into this vision, this dream, not asleep. Verse 11, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit or held at the four corners and let down to the earth. I mean, here comes this thing. Verse 12, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air, every last one of them unclean, unfit for consumption, against God's food laws, against his health laws, according to Leviticus chapter 11, as well as other places. You just don't partake of things like that. Verse 13, and there came a voice to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. 14, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, this is according to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 4. He said, I haven't gone there. I've never eaten anything that's putrid or common. Now, I want you to know, coming out the gate, we're not really talking about food here. This is a vision. He's in a trance. But it has to do with people. It has to do with those Gentile people that are approaching the gate that Peter up to this time would call common. Are unholy, are not religious, are not of God. Okay, and that's the way it was at that time. God's going to change things. 15, and the voice spake unto him again a second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Don't you? If God cleanses something, don't you call it polluted? Well, again, we're not talking about unclean food here. We're talking about children of God. We're talking about Gentiles. If God decides to whomsoever will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you dare call them unfit. God's heart is open to them. So don't you dare call them common. We'll document this before this chapter is over to where any child can understand. Verse 16, this was done thrice, three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Peter eat any of that? And, you know, a lot of preachers are going to tell you, there it was, God cleansed everything. That's not even what it's talking about. And I hate to say it, but it would show considerable ignorance to think so. It is a trance. Peter never took a bite of anything, never killed anything. Again, because it was a vision, a trance. Verse 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself, he was perplexed what this vision which he had seen should mean. What is God telling me? Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Here are these commoners in Peter's mind standing at the gate, And God, while he's up in prayer, has directed him about clean and unclean, common and uncommon. 18, and he called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. Verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, of course, said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. And here we have a double witness to Peter. This is from the Father. Verse 20, arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. It's okay. They may be Gentiles, but I sent them, and you will go with them. Just as Jesus himself in Luke chapter 7, verse 5, I hope I'm correct in that, would take a centurion and do his wishes, his answer, his prayers. He's sending Peter to set the way for Paul's ministry to the Gentile, whomsoever will, in loving the Lord Jesus Christ, or accepted. Verse 21, and then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and he said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? What are you here for? What do you have for request of me? 22, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, that's a righteous man, and one that feareth God, he reveres God, he loves him, and of good report among all the nation. This word nation is ethnos in the Greek. Do you know what our word ethnicity comes from? It. A nation of the Jews that were there, that means of, this should be Judea. Those that live, not that. A Jew is a type, is a offspring of Judah or a resident of Judea, one or the other, but the land Judea is called Judea, and that's what it should have been translated. Was, because we're talking about a geographical location, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto his house, into his house, and to hear words of thee. He was told by an angel to do this. Well, Peter's got a pretty good idea, because here he's up on the housetop praying, and here all this filth comes down in a sheet. And he's instructed to eat, and then it dissipates three times. And he knows it's of God, because he's heard the voice also. Verse 23. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. In other words, there were Christian followers that went along with him. 24. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. We've got quite a group here. I mean, we're ready for church. We're ready for a Bible study. We're ready to see what thus saith the Lord. Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Don't ever, ever worship a man. Worship God only. Peter won't tolerate this. Verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am a man, and certainly not a god. Verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together, and his own household. Do you know what this documents? That he was a centurion and a leader of warriors well enough. But also he led his family in the way of the Lord. They were there hungry, wanting to hear, as believers would, what Father has to say to them. Anxiously waiting. Verse 28. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew or of Judah to keep company, that's to say to socialize, or come into one of another nation, but God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, there's a very unusual word in this verse. It's used only one time in God's Word, basically, in the King James. In the Septuagint, it's used more, I think. But the word nation, as it is used here, is allophilos. Allophilos. And the meaning of it is very, very important. So that you know we're not talking about unclean animals to eat. Let me explain the word. Allos means different. It's two Greek words. It means different, like different people, different kinds of people. And poul is to say a race or a kindred. So we're talking about different races and different kindreds. In other words, the word is utilized here, and it takes away any doubt. And what it says then is, he was saying, we're not allowed to keep company or socialize with someone that is not loving our Heavenly Father. That was what the law stated. The old law said it, and so it was. But here, this one word is so important. So, if you have some person that ever comes to you and tells you God has cleansed bad food, and they show your ignorance as to understand the Greek allophilos, which is to say we're talking about a different kind of people, a different kindred, that then they show their ignorance and they mislead many people into ill health by eating unhealthy according to God's health laws. So it's a shame. And not only is it a shame, it's a sin for lack of scholarship on man's part. And like I told you, a child can understand we're talking here about different people, not food. Okay. Verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. What do you want with me? Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m., I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Naturally, that was the shining angel, probably of God, there. 31, and he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. These good deeds that you do, God has remembered. 32, send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, will speak unto thee. That's word for word what God had said to Cornelius that period of time before. 33, immediately, therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. In other words, we want to do what you say. We know you're a man of God. Why? Well, God told him to send for him. There's no room for doubt there. 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. In other words, I perceive that God has told me I shouldn't call any man common. I perceive that if someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm not to respect this person or that person, but believers. That's what he's saying here. and how precious it is. This, and just exactly as Christ taught, whomsoever will. Verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him, this is in all the ethnos, okay, this is, feareth him and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. They're received by him. Doesn't matter what nation, whether it's, and this is ethnos, ethnic, okay, that God doesn't exhibit partiality. And you might say, well, does this change then that there's never any chosen? No, there are chosen. This doesn't remove, there are both ends of this spectrum, salvation, free will, and God's elect who are chosen before the foundations of this earth, why they earned it, fighting against Satan in the first earth age rather than loving him or being deceived by him. Neither will they be deceived by him when he comes as the spurious Messiah. And so it is that many of the kings and queens of the ethnos, Gentiles, will not be deceived either. You'll see that even they receive the Holy Spirit the same as Peter and others did on Pentecost Day. That Peter would say, this is that is spoken of by Joel the prophet. Next verse, please. 36. 36 reads, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And how many was that? A-L-L. Lord of all. That includes Gentiles, every kindred, the qualification that they believe. 37. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And so it was, and so it did. Verse 38, and God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And that dove coming down and saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, when he baptized Christ there, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so it is that when Father is with you, you don't have to fear anything. You keep attuned to the Comforter who is sent to us today. The Comforter is still with us very much. If you are in tune with him, whoever you are, if you love him, again, this has nothing to do with the elect or free will, whichever place you fit, you're God's child and he loves you. He's not partial to anyone other than he does know who he can count on to get something done. Okay. That being the purpose, okay. And next verse, please, 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of, I'm going to translate it properly, Judea, and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. The Kenites out there screaming and yelling, crucify him. Verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now, you understand Cornelius and them are being told this. Peter's saying, we observed it. We saw it. We witnessed it. And next verse, 41. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before. Don't read over that. That means preordained, predestined. It means, this is a real special word. Look it up in the Greek, if you will, in your Strong's Concordance. Predestined and from before chosen. Not volunteered, just as Paul was, his free will was to do in Christians. But God struck him down. Why? Because he was a chosen vessel. Chapter 9, verse 15. There are chosen that stood against the false Messiah in the beginning. That makes the difference. These witnesses chosen fore predestined of God even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. We witnessed that. He walked with us 40 days. And then he ascended, and 10 days later, 50th day, Pentecost, the Comforter he promised came and entered in and made comfortable those that believed, and he does yet to this day. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. That means the living and the dead. And he did instantly when he was in that tomb. He went back, as it is written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, all the way to those at the time of Noah, and gave them the opportunity to believe upon him and receive eternal life. And so it was that many that day, as chapter 4 would continue on, were released from the wrong side of that paradise and were freed. The prisoners were freed. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Isaiah 53:11. And you know, that says it all. Whomsoever will, whether you're of the ethnic, or whether you are of Israel, or whether you're one of God's chosen, which doesn't make you any better than anybody else. It just means there's responsibility. To whom much is given, much is expected. And so it is. And those that God gives much, he's going to receive much. He wants success. And he wants that accomplished. But here was that promise of where he wouldn't open his mouth to prevent his execution and to pay that price, that we would have that remission of sins. 44. And when Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. The same Spirit that fell on them on Pentecost Day. We'll document it here in a moment. 45. And they of the circumcision, that means of the house of Israel, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, ethnics, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were having that same spirit of speaking in every language of the world all at one time. It did not need an interpreter. It was not they that were speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking through them. As Acts chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, so document, nothing unknown about it. The word unknown should never be mentioned with the Pentecostal tongue, for it is not biblical. It is not of God. Again, documentation, do you believe man or do you believe the word of God? Acts 2, verses 6 and 7. 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. This is what Peter had to say about it. Verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? They're Gentiles. Should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we. Just like we received it on Pentecost Day. Hey, man can't fake that. As it was written, this is that was spoken of by Joel the prophet way back in the book of Joel chapter 2, of how it would be at the end times, at the very end, when both sons and daughters would witness and testify when they're delivered up before the spurious Messiah. And so it is. Then the kings and queens of the ethnos, which Paul was sent, Peter plowing the way here, opening the path, would be delivered just as well as God's elect before the false Messiah, to witness before their kindred. Allos, I will say it in the Greek. Allos, making it possible that all, whomsoever will, could come to that salvation and the Holy Spirit, the presence of the living God, use them to bring forth their people, their responsibility into the heavenly realm of eternal life, giving them the greatest gift that man has ever received, is forgiveness, remission of sins, and eternal life through that one whom the Holy Spirit on that day of John the Baptist's baptism, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," should be, because he was the Savior of the world, Yeshua in the Hebrew tongue. And we go to the last verse to complete the chapter. "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord," that's Yeshua, "and then prayed they him to tarry certain days." We want to hear more. We want more of this beautiful truth. And so it is that these kings and queens were anointed with the fire of the Holy Spirit into the kingdom of God to worship, to love, to follow, and to carry forth that message. Peter made it very clear, you know, in past we haven't been allowed to even socialize or teach the ethnicity, those of that ethnicity. But now, God has made it very clear, and only our Heavenly Father could do that with the touch of love. Every man should be treated right, and his own ways and kind should be respected, and his dignity respected in following the Lord Jesus Christ, whomsoever will. What a beautiful chapter in the Word of God. It touches the hearts of many. All right, bless your heart. You listen. Don't miss the next lecture.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it with us. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. Don't judge people. We have one judge, and that one judge is all that's necessary. It's our Father. He'll do the judging. You do have the right to discern spiritually whether someone is a believer or not, and to socialize with and so forth. That you decide who to follow and so forth. How do you reckon that? From God's Word. All instructions are written there. That's why God wrote this letter to you, telling you how to be happy in these flesh bodies. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? You don't need the number or an address. Why? God always hears your prayers, just like he heard the prayers of Cornelius, just like he heard the prayers of Peter. He hears yours, and he answers them according to his will, and you should never want anything but that. Because God's will for you, if you're doing right, is always what is best for you. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, question time. We're going to get right into it. We got Paul from Texas. "I have some evil spirits or demons in my house. I need to know how to get them out. What is the chapter and verse that I can use? Thank you." You got to go to Luke chapter 12, verse 10. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And you will find out there that God gives you power over all your enemies. I'm going to say that again. Luke 10, verse 19. You've got power over all your enemies. What are you putting up with it for? You got to get downright junkyard dog mean in ordering them out of your house. Anointing the post in the name of Jesus Christ and ordering them out. Back where they came from. And they will run from you. You know, evil spirits or familiar spirits are afraid of warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they know we're a death sentence to them. They're going back where they came from to be put out of their misery. That naturally frightens them. So, Paul, you got to just get right up there. You'll find your scripture of anointing, but you on your home, it's yours. You don't need the elders. Do it yourself as a son of the living God and get it done. Okay. Anoint it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and order everything negative out of it. Robert from Michigan. The book of Genesis, it speaks about people living 800 or 900 years. How could they live that long? Thank you. Well, because you had nothing that polluted. There were no automobiles, there were no poisons, there were no sprays, no DDT. Not that I ever believed DDT was as harmful as some thought it was. And pollutants that... carbons of all kinds, everything, you know, and all the food was just, I mean, it was fresh, it was perfect. Naturally, God put these things together where they can survive quite a bit. And some of you know it, some of you have been through it. But at the same time, as the pollutants grow and the tensions of the world grow, then life gets a little shorter and shorter. And so it is. That's how they did it, though. It is also biblical for how long is one day with the Lord? It's 1,000 years. And he told Adam, in the day you sin, you will die. Meaning, you're not going to live over 1,000 years long. No man has ever done that. Because it was God's law, God's word. Patricia from Tennessee. My question... I'm glad you love the teaching. My question, even though I am a Christian and pray for my shortcomings and try to live right, it all sounds scary in the time of Satan's coming, and it sounds like a scary time. You don't have to worry about it. I just quoted the scripture, Luke 10:19. You have power over all your enemies. And do you know something? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace as an example to you. There wasn't a hair on their heads singed when it was heated 7 times hotter than necessary. Who was in the fire with them? The Lord Jesus Christ. He brought them out without even the smell of smoke on them. God takes care of his own when you use this, when you use your head, when you go by his word, when you do it his way. And you're going to do just fine. And when you read Mark chapter 13, how you're supposed to witness against him, that it's not even you that's speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking through you. You look forward to that time. Be anxious for it, to put a word in, because it's going to be televised to the whole world, and how many people will be changed, converted by the thousands, even at that last minute, at Satan's own hand of trying to force truth, trying to convert God's elect. It won't happen. Marie from Louisiana, a question for me. Is Proverbs chapter 8 speaking of Jesus? No. Proverbs chapter 8 is wisdom speaking. You know, wisdom is something you want to possess. And speaking of Proverbs chapter 8, Chapter 1, verse 7 tells you how to acquire wisdom, the beginning of it. Do you want me to quote it, or do you want to read it for yourself? Let me think. I will paraphrase part of it. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge is to revere, to fear is the way it's translated in the King James. The word is revere. Love Almighty God, because all wisdom comes from Him. It is wisdom speaking, and you must be wise. You got to be wiser than the serpent, but as peaceful as a dove. Okay. What does the word Sila mean? Sila in the book of Psalms is a pause. Stop the music. Something was just said. I want you to absorb that and meditate on it. Stop the music. Think. Because I'm going to give you the answer following the rest. And he always does. You have the statement and the answer. You have the situation and you have how to come out of it with that rest for a moment. It means to pause, to meditate, to absorb what was said, and then receive the answer. So you might say, one, maybe it's an oversimplification, but the Selah means good news, or the news is coming. The answer. Josephine from North Carolina. So many things have gone wrong in my life, and I live a Christian life. Is this a test, or am I being punished? Well, this is Satan's hour. He is the prince of the darkness, and this is the time of that darkness. But we have a light in the middle of that dark world. And naturally, if you allow it, Satan's going to try to catch you off guard. He knows your weak points. He's going to hit you in those weak points. And what you have to do, as I said earlier, I mean, you got to tell him where to go. You got to get tough with him. And I mean, put him, you have the power. The word power, as it's utilized in that scripture that I mentioned in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and following, the word power is dunamis. It's where our word dynamite comes from. Okay. And you have that power in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't ever be afraid to use it, okay? Use it against anything negative in your life. Kathy from Minnesota. Does God heal people today, or did that stop with the apostles? I have 19 stitches in my face, and I pray every night that He will heal me. I was wondering if God would answer a prayer like that. God is the same yesterday, He is today, and He shall be forever, and He loves His children, and He is a healer. So we just all you have to do is ask Him, okay, and anoint yourself with the oil of our people if it makes you feel better. And we would ask that the Lord Jesus Christ touch you now even. Marie from Massachusetts, where can I find references for anointing with olive oil? Well, you'll find it in James chapter 5, and I'll say just a thing or two about olive oil. It is the oil of our people. And it would do one good to take the olive tree and know what it means in the Hebrew tongue. It's El-Yah. Yah is the sacred name of the living God. It is not the oil that does the healing, though it is a very healing thing for cooking and other purposes. But it is your obedience to use it. You just take a little tad on your forefinger and anoint the forehead or wherever that illness, and ask Father to touch and to heal. Okay, it's a wonderful thing that He left us this. Not that it will do it, but it's our obedience to do it. James chapter 5 tells you. Loretta from Maine. When someone dies and they don't cross over, can their loved ones help them cross over? During the millennium, not now, they can't. Okay. Right now, that cannot be done. It does not hurt to pray for them, but then let me rush then to say, Many times if you think somebody didn't cross over, you're judging them. You don't know what was in their heart seconds before they passed on. You just don't know. And that's a thing you want to be very careful of. But at the same time, during the millennium, then you know, if you're one of God's elect, called Zadok, Ezekiel 44, that means God's elect, the upright. Then you can see you will recognize, as it is written in verse 20 through 25, your mother, brother, sister, father. You'll recognize them, and if they didn't make it, if they're being taught and they're kind of going wrong, as one of God's elect, you can go to them and take names and kick dragon for a minute. Okay, I mean talk to them and practice a little tough love if they're not making it. Why? Because you love them. And then that way you can help, but you do pay a little penalty, as it is written, for purification after you touch those that are spiritually dead. But then maybe that clue of jarring them and letting them know what's going to happen. Ezekiel 44 is about the millennium, and that's what happens there. At that time, you will be able to at least talk to them. Maddie from Tennessee, what is a familiar spirit? I can't find it in the Bible. Well, it's mentioned several times in the Bible. I just recently mentioned familiar spirits in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7. And I believe it's been 8 also. But that's the witch of Endor. She had a familiar spirit. God detests those things. But familiar spirits are mentioned several times in the Word of God. Oh, 8 or 10 times. But it's demonic spirits. Evil spirits is more commonly used. Okay, Marty from Texas. My friend is blaming all women for the fall of the human race because Eve was deceived first. How do I explain to him that it was both women and men? Well, if he's much of a man, he should have been taking care of his woman anyway. I'm talking about Adam. God made Eve as his helpmate. And he was responsible in that sense. And he made them both one flesh. Now, you might ask your friend to explain to you, in as much as chapter 2 and 3 declare that both become one flesh, how that one could be any more at fault than the other, because they are one. And responsibility falls on both sides. And if you want to really get right down to it, it says that Adam partook of the same seed she did, that's the serpent's seed. He's a bigger sinner than she is. He needs a little comeuppance is what he needs of truth. Deborah from Kentucky. Okay, I question, what are your thoughts and teaching on Ezekiel 28? I recently heard this did not pertain to Satan. You know, the world is full of ignorant people. And this is really... you know why anyone would not know in Ezekiel 28 to check out the king of Tyrus. What does Tyrus mean? It means rock. Their rock is not our rock. And he was a cherubim. The cherubim that covereth. And naturally, he is already sentenced to death. And as it is written in St. John chapter 17, only the son of perdition has been sentenced to death. And he was sentenced to death as the king of Tyrus in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. He was never born of woman. He was created by God, this king of Tyrus was. So I don't know. You want to be careful who you listen to. And if they cannot document what they say in God's Word, and the words I have just spoken to you are undeniable proofs that he is Satan. Margie from Montana, we know that the beast system is the New World Order. What do you think the wound to the head might be? Well, it's how does a political system receive a deadly wound? I could have mentioned a few politicians that created a deadly wound to their campaign running. Just one sentence sometimes will do it. Okay, like you might have some politicians that might come up with some slogan like, I intend to take all the money away from one group of people and give it to another. That would end, for real intelligent people, that would end his career right there. Because we're America, where people are free and everybody has an equal opportunity to get ahead. So, you know, the political system receives a deadly wound, not to some man's body, but to the political system. Franklin from South Carolina, where does the Bible say that God hates those who teach my people to fly? Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 20. But now you've got to be careful. Some Bibles of the later editions have changed it, absolutely changed the Word of God, and changed it from people to birds. Can you believe that? It has actually happened. The Hebrew is so specific, so very simple to understand. But some Kenite, no doubt, changed it from people that were taught to fly to save their souls. Example, you don't have to understand God's Word, the book of Revelation. You're going to be gone. You're going to fly away. God says, I'm against that. And some Kenite changed the word to birds flying. So you lose the truth and the warning by Almighty God to not believe liars. Mary from Ohio, please explain Acts 2:34. Why does it say that David was not ascended into heaven? Well, and then he quoted Psalms 110, verse 1, if I remember right, in that same verse. Concerning Christ sitting down at the right hand of God and the enemy, till his enemies are made his footstool. Because Christ, though he came through the loins of David, he was transfigured. David was not transfigured. His flesh body went back to dust. His flesh body did not ascend, but his soul did. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured. Donald from California. I would like to know where I can find where Satan was made in full pattern and he was protector of the mercy seat. We were just talking about it there. Ezekiel chapter 28. Began reading along about verse 18, let's drop back to about 14, and somewhere along in there you'll find God will say, I made you the full pattern. Why? He earned it. God doesn't give positions away because somebody's the prettiest. He worked hard at it until he began to take pride in himself, and that brought about his downfall. That, quite frankly, gave him the name Son of Perdition. You see, perdition simply means to perish. That means he's already sentenced to perish in the pit, to turn to ashes from within. There's only one. You don't have to look anywhere else. There is another group, but they're not named individually. And that's the Nephilim, the fallen angels, also are sentenced to death. But in a sense, they didn't exist flesh-born ever anyway. Eloise from Mississippi, what does the sinning against the Holy Spirit mean? It can only be done by God's elect, and you can read of it in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, where it very clearly stipulates, if you know who the Antichrist is, this is why it only applies to God's elect. If you know who the Antichrist is and you know you're supposed to witness against him by not you speaking, but as it is written in Mark 13, the Holy Spirit allowed to speak through you. If you refuse the Holy Spirit when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, that's unpardonable. Personally, I do not think it will ever happen because I know God's elect pretty well. They're chomping at the bit to get to him. If they have any one sin, it'll be talking too much instead of allowing the Holy Spirit. Karen from Indiana. If the person kept taking items that belong to me, can I curse the person who has been taking my items? I talked to a pastor and was told no, and also others and was told no, but that I could bind them instead of a curse. You know, if somebody's taking my stuff, I'm going to put a stop to it. Okay, I don't have to put a curse on them or anything else. I just take care of business. Okay, you should do the same thing. You're a daughter of God. You act like it. Okay, go through. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word most of all. God loves you for it. Brought to you by tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you most of all. Hey, you stay in His Word every day, and His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Why? Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd.